Welcome to Manager Tools. Don't do skip level one-on-ones. This cast answers these questions. Should I do one-on-ones with my skips? How can I create good relationships with my skips? How can I communicate with my skips? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Here we go.
Folks, if you haven't heard, we have established a virtual public effective manager conference. We're presenting it over Zoom. We've already started two courses. They're both sold out. The next one is coming up in the next week or so. We intend to continue doing that as long as there are parts of our community that are locked down and you can't travel. They're multi-parts, but they're done over Zoom in two and a half hour increments. And the price is only $700. So if you're looking for a little bit of a price break, that's the place to do it. And it's about the only way you can get trained these days, thanks to lockdown. So we hope to see you over Zoom.
You know, it's funny, Mark, this topic about skip level one-on-ones comes up more frequently than I would imagine. And often it comes up with people who just absolutely don't want to do one-on-ones. They don't have time for one-on-ones, right? Then all of a sudden they do them and they get such great results. Then they say, oh, well, I want to have relationships, just as good relationships with my skips. So shouldn't I do one-on-ones with my skips?
Yeah, it's funny. I actually have a little bit different take. I think the reason we get this question so much is we should have done this cast 10 years ago. Because I've answered this question so many times, it had migrated into my brain that I've talked about it. And, you know, we get questions at conferences, I get questions by email, I get questions from things I think, and I answer. And, you know, you know our saying, say something seven times, half the people will say they heard it once. So we have to keep saying it. And then I asked Wendy the other day, I said, what does our cast on skip level one-on-ones say? She says, well, we don't recommend skip level one-on-ones. I said, I know, but surely we have a cast called Don't Do Skip Level One-on-Ones. She says, no, actually, we don't. I said, oh, that's why I'm getting all these questions. It actually says people are smart. They're like, hey, this really works. Let's spread them out. Let's do more skip levels. So here's our guidance. Four steps. First, obviously, don't do one-on-ones with your skips. I'll explain why.
The high D answer to this.
Yeah, exactly. No.
Just don't do it.
No. Have a good weekend, guys. Number two, have your directs do one-on-ones with their directs. We also recommend you have skip level meetings. And Mike, just for the record, I think a lot of people, when we say skip level meetings, they assume it's O3s. And then the last piece is maintain an open door policy.
Okay, so let's talk about why don't you do one-on-ones with your skips? You know, you're doing with your directs, I hope, right? And you're getting great results. So why wouldn't you just take the extra step and do it with your skips?
It occurs to me as a gift to those of you who are not doing one-on-ones with your directs, you don't have to listen to this cast.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Because if you're not doing them with your directs, I can't imagine you're thinking, oh, I'll do them with my skips.
Yeah, no. we can't help you there.
Yeah, I can't help you. So skip level one-on-ones are apparently tempting because we get questions about them a lot, but they're a mistake. We don't recommend them. Please don't email me and say, I know you don't recommend them, but how would you do them? Because we have one of our rules here is we don't give guidance on how to do things that we don't recommend you do. Look, some bosses tell us, well, look, Mark, okay, but I really want to have great relationships with my skips.
Yeah, and that's good. We applaud that.
It's good. Yeah. But if that's the motivation, if one-on-ones are what got us to great relationships, why stop at our skips? Why not have O3s with virtually everybody in the organization? I mean, your CEO probably would say, I want to have a great relationship with everybody here. Should he do one-on-ones with everybody? And the answer, of course, is no. And basically, this is an organizational issue. Relationships at scale create scope problems, right? It's simply impossible for every boss to want to do one-on-ones with everyone beneath them, if you'll pardon that construction in the org chart. And guys, this is one of the reasons organizations exist, to provide a structure which allows the managerial layers in an organization to multiply the effects of relationships. That's why organizations are set up the way they are.
But what if you have a small scope? Say you have a small organization, then is it okay at that point?
Yeah. So to me, that's the smart question. Mark, I've only got two directs. I've got three directs and they each have two directs. You know, it would be okay, right? And the answer actually is still no. Even if you had only eight one-on-ones with two, say, again, two directs and then three directs for them each. So six plus two is eight.
Yeah, and to be clear, there's no problem with doing eight one-on-ones. Many, many, many managers out there do eight one-on-ones every single week.
Yeah, but that's not the issue. I mean, obviously, the issue of scale and scope are span of control are not the only issue. It seems doable time-wise, and then whenever I start talking about the time involved in one-on-ones and people say, I can't do it with 15. I'm reminded of the nurse managers who have 40 and 50 directs that I get emails from a few times a year. And they just shake their heads at all these managers and say, I wish I had 10, 12, 15 directs. The question isn't one of time. Question, interestingly, is one of trust. If you're doing one-on-ones with your skips, you're undermining the more important relationship your directs should be having with their directs. Think about this from the perspective of your skips, the people who report to people who report to you. Think how often you're going to have a skip. You're going to have to ask a skip. And right now I'm assuming their boss is not doing one-on-ones with them. Think how often you start doing one-on-ones with your skips and you're going to have to ask, does your boss know about this? Now, look, if your skip says no, are you really going to continue that conversation in any detail? I mean, we already have said many, many times that problems created at, let's say, one level should not be solved by someone at a higher level. And that certainly would then suggest, even if you think that's a little sketchy, certainly we don't want problems created at the individual contributor level to be solved at the senior manager level. That doesn't make any sense at all. If you're smart, you're not going to get into those kinds of debates or undermine your directs who are their managers. It's just wasted time. Further, how long are you going to want to keep having one-on-ones with skips who don't have them with their own boss before you realize how much wasted time is spent between them? You can't do it. Essentially, what you're doing is saying to your directs, I'm going to manage your people. I tell you what, if you work for me, I'd immediately start saying, where are you spending your time? Because it's not just the one-on-one that you spend. It's not just the 30 minutes. It's not just relationships. Remember, one-on-ones aren't a kumbaya meeting. It's designed to achieve business results. So you're going to be talking about work. Our data, as we share at the effective manager conferences, is that 79% of directs say what they want to talk about during one-on-ones is work, status, progress, help, struggles, updates, that kind of stuff. 86% of managers say that what they want to talk about during one-on-ones is work. And that gives the lie then to the people who say, well, I don't want to be too close to my people. Familiarity breeds contempt. And, you know, well, dude, you're not going to get familiar with them. If yeah. you're getting familiar with your directs, it's not because you're doing one-on-ones. It's because you've got screw loose.
there's
a different problem mark
right there.
Yeah, that's right.
Here now, when we were talking earlier this week, you shared with me how this applies to the Horseman middleman test. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So I'm surprised more managers don't get this. Almost every manager I talk to is not only a manager herself, she's a direct of someone else. So when you're a manager, think of yourself as the middleman. And the Horseman middleman test is, if you wouldn't do something to your boss, you shouldn't tolerate it from your directs. And if you wouldn't like it from your boss, you shouldn't visit it upon your directs. What would it be like for you in the middle here if your boss was doing one-on-ones with all of your directs, her skips?
Yeah. Immediately everybody goes, oh my God, no.
That's not good. that's not good, right? Even if you think you have a good relationship with your directs, how many times are you going to enjoy your boss coming down and comparing notes with you on what your directs said to her versus what you said they said to you? That's just not.
That's a nightmare just waiting to happen.
Yeah. To say nothing of what your skips will start to think. And to me, this is the big problem. even if you do one-on-ones with your directs and your boss also does, how long before your directs realize that the relationship they really ought to be working on is the one with your boss and not with you? Because why wouldn't I want my protector, my mentor, my friend to be my boss's boss rather than my boss? Because she has more power than my boss. And if you think to yourself, no, no, Mark, when I do skip level one-on-ones with my skips, I don't mean that. I'm not undermining my directs at all. No, I'm not just at trying. All. No, I'm pure as the driven snow. Yeah, it doesn't matter what you have in your heart. It matters what happens in the organization. What happens is you're bifurcating the nature of the relationship between your directs and their own boss. And the organization is set up for the organization to be strong because of its layers, not in spite of its layers. Yes, I'm not arguing with you that companies need to have important spiritual connections, that you need to feel aligned with the mission and vision and values of your organization. But that's the leadership part of the discussion. The management part of the discussion says, yes, we're all aligned, but we're aligned in a linked fashion. This is not 1,000 people standing in a circle, holding hands with a whole bunch of lines between one, with each person connected to 999 others. That's not an organization. That's a commune, perhaps. And if you know anything about tribal behaviors and communications, when human beings get into an organization of about 150 people, that's Dunbar's number, and you can look up Dunbar's Law on Wikipedia if you like. Once you get past about 150, the ability to develop strong bonds of trust decreases, and noticeably so. This is one of the reasons why entrepreneurs don't scale, because they think they can grow their company to 50, and they probably can, or maybe even 100. When you start getting to 100, some entrepreneurs struggle a little bit. It doesn't feel the same, they say. But they definitely notice at 150. Some of them attempt to grow further. And in fact, you can grow further if you give up the idea that everybody in your company all need to be on a close, personal, first name, first hand relationship basis. It simply can't be done.
Yeah, and there's too much information in organizations for the CEO to somehow be responsible for communicating everything about the organization at the lowest level. Can you imagine responding in a time like coronavirus where the CEO has to go talk to everybody and explain what's going on? I mean,
yeah, I'm always reminded. People ask me all kinds of questions, and I've gotten to the point where I don't tell as many of these stories, but I'll just tell a brief story. The entire instructions for General Eisenhower and the Allied forces before D-Day, before the war in Northern Western Europe took off, was 50 words long, okay? And that went to Eisenhower, and then he disseminated it. But by the time it got to the lowest level guy, they might have heard that highest level thing. But what they knew was what part of which beach they were supposed to land on and how to engage. That's how organizations work. It doesn't maybe seem as sexy or cool or leader-like or visual or metaphorical as people would like, but the vast majority of people spouting guidance about managers and leaders are using all kinds of platitudes and buzzwords to make things feel good. But in fact, management is not really about feeling. It's about action. It's about results. It's about effectiveness. And that's why management is thought of as kind of a hard science and leadership is thought of as a soft science. And then don't even get me started about why we even make a distinction between leadership and management. All right. So we said no. We say no. You can't do it.
Okay. But one-on-one should be happening. I mean, you should be doing one-on-ones, right?
Well, again, well, we don't have to worry about anybody not doing one-on-ones in this cast. We already told them to go away.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
Okay. But now what we're saying is if you have directs who are managers themselves, that's why you would have skips. We recommend you have your directs do one-on-ones with their directs.
You could almost even require it if you were their boss.
Oh, Mike. Everyone has to have a voice. We should have consensus on all these things. In fact, I'm pretty sure that if you're an individual contributor, if you don't like a particular piece of software the CFO has bought, you should tell him you're not going to use it because everybody's exactly. Voice matters. So yeah. So the solution to creating great relationships with your skips is to have your directs do their own one-on-ones with their own directs. Okay. Now you're saying, and I know you're saying in your head, many of you, how am I going to have a great relationship with somebody because of what a third party, my directs, do? And that's built on that question, which is a legitimate question, is built on an assumption that to have a great relationship, one must therefore have a firsthand relationship. But you think about it, there are all kinds of situations in our personal lives and our social lives where that's not so. If your best friend tells you, I trust this person whom you're just about to meet, aren't you quite likely to trust the person they bring into your circle of friends? Of course you are. That's the nature of trust. It gets extended. And for the record, again, this is how organizations are supposed to work. You're not supposed to have a deep, firsthand relationship with your skips. You're supposed to create a great relationship with them indirectly. We do that by creating great relationships with our own directs and then trusting our directs to create great relationships with their directs.
And how do they do that? The straight man says.
I was hoping a campfire song. No. One-on-ones, pretty much. You know, well, I've told people before, I think I said in the Wall Street Journal article that when they interviewed me a number of years ago, they said, what's your overall guidance? I'd say, take 2 one-on-ones and call me in the morning. Now, look, we say this, though, but some managers pause at the idea of their directs doing one-on-ones with their skips because they have another misunderstanding. Because there's so much drivel out there about management and about it being a personal endeavor or a personality-driven endeavor, too many of us managers mistakenly believe that we can't insist that our managers, the ones who report to us, our directs, that are beneath us, that we can insist that they engage in certain management behaviors, like one-on-ones. But that idea that we can't insist is wrong. We've talked about this before, but look, guys, management isn't any more personality-driven than a company saying, we're going to use Microsoft Office to handle mail and calendaring documents and presentations and spreadsheets. Okay. That's a decision by the company about how it's going to run itself. Okay. The same thing is true for you as a manager telling your directs, I'm going to do one-on-ones. And if your directs are managers, you can tell them, you can insist that they engage in one-on-ones with their directs. You know, I mentioned the example of the person pushing back against the CEO. Most employees aren't crazy enough to tell their boss, yeah, I prefer this other word processing software. I prefer WordPerfect or Byword.
WordStar.
Yeah, WordStar, also very good. I would prefer to use my Gmail account for mail. I mean, no one does this, but somehow when it comes to management, oh no, all bets are off. We can all seek our own star or wander in our own fields to determine, you know, how things are done. But like it or not, management behaviors within your part of the organization can be insisted upon. We've actually talked about this before. If I run my, say, 300-person organization with the Manager Tools Trinity, when I give that guidance to my directs, when I tell my directs I'm doing one-on-ones feedback coaching delegation, people don't understand this. When I do that, I am speaking with the force, the role power of the CEO, as if the CEO were mandating it for the entire company. I don't just speak with force for my team. I speak with the force of the CEO. Now, admittedly, the difference is the CEO probably won't be overturned on a decision like that, whereas there are layers between me and the CEO, and every one of my decisions, hypothetically, could be vetted and overturned by somebody above me. But that doesn't change the fact that I speak with the force of the CEO. It's how management works. It's how organizations are run. That's what role power is, the ability to speak with the power of the company to your part of the company. So how do you help your directs who aren't doing one-on-ones with their directs? How do you help them start doing one-on-ones? There's a cast for that, and it's called Rolling Down the Trinity. And there are a couple of ways to do it, and I won't bore you with the details. But if you've already been doing one-on-ones with your directs for a while, maybe you're doing feedback, maybe you're not. Maybe you're on coaching delegation. Maybe you're not. Doesn't matter. If you're doing one-on-ones, if you've been doing them for 12, 15, 18, 20 weeks, 80 weeks, whatever, it's time to get your directs who are managers to start to insist that they start doing one-on-ones with their directs. And, you know, I joke, the dark mark comes out every once in a while. When your direct says, yeah, I don't want to do that. I said, I didn't ask you what you wanted. I mean, I want another Ferrari, but not that I have one now, but I don't have one. You know, I'd like more cash in our company's coffers to weather the COVID-19, but I don't have it. Oh, we have enough, guys. There's all kinds of things I want, but this isn't about what you want any more than I prefer a different word processing software. I prefer to use Apple Mail to Microsoft Office, but not if I'm in a Microsoft Office run organization. So you got to roll down the Trinity, and there's a cash for that. Folks, we have the M conference coming up August 18th and 19th. It's going to be in Chicago. We're assuming that things will be okay for the M conference by then. We already have 10 speakers lined up. All of them have confirmed that they can make it. We do still have slots available for the two-day event. And if you don't know, the M conference is unique in that we provide you with 10 years worth of license value for free and associated with your $3,000 fee. So that's $2,000 worth of value right there. Last year's M conference attendees are still communicating daily on our special WhatsApp channel for attendees. And we hope you join us and join the community to talk about the problems you're facing and talk to other executives and senior managers about what they're doing in the face of really an unprecedented situation. I think we can all agree. Hope to see you in Chicago, August 18th and 19th at the M conference.
Okay. So are you then saying that managers, directors who might have senior managers working for them, that I can't go talk to the lower level managers? I'm not able to talk to them?
No, you can't.
Yeah.
Because you work for me and I've told you no.
I hate you. I hate you.
No. Yes, no. But I'm your boss. So hate me all you want. Just keep it to yourself. Now, the answer to that is skip level meetings. And look, we're not suggesting that you're not going to run into them. You're not going to talk to them. You're not going to be in meetings with your directs and their directs and having a discussion about it. That's all good. That's normal. Okay. Maybe not normal right now when we're all sequestered at home, but this too shall pass, folks. So what you're going to do is have skip-level meetings. We still want to trust that our directs are building good relationship with their directs, but it's also good to verify. There's that trust but verify again. We do that not with skip one-on-ones, but with skip-level meetings. And look, guys, you can totally be forgiven if you've heard skip-level meetings or somebody said, I just had a one-on-one with my skip, and you somehow thought skip-level meetings were one-on-ones. They're not. In fact, when people say, I just had a one-on-one with my skip, they're really not talking about a skip level one-on-one. They're talking about a one-on-one in the sense of the abstract of there were only two people in the room. The broader, more widely held definition of a one-on-one is a manager and her direct or his direct meeting together weekly, privately, although that word's overused, on a regularly scheduled basis. Okay, that's a one-on-one. Maybe the difference, I guess, would be capital O, capital O, capital O, which is why we call them O3s, as opposed to a small O times three for a one-on-one meeting. You could argue that if nobody was going to listen to this, Mike and I are in a one-on-one meeting now from the abstract of there's only two people in the room. But if Mike and I were peers and we both reported to, say, Trevor Woods, us sitting down for 15 minutes is not a one-on-one, unscheduled, you know, at the end of a meeting and having a chat. Somebody might look at us and go, oh, they're talking one-to-one. Yeah, okay, but it's not a one-on-one with capital O's. And when people talk about skip-level meetings, you might think, and some managers, some directors probably do, skip-level one-on-ones, and they're misguided. But a skip-level meeting is not one-on-one. Skip-level meetings, and for the record, yes, there is a cast for this one too. Mike, don't you think in 10 years, we're going to have a cast which says, here are the 5 points. There are casts that already covered this. All
exactly.
Of it. We're going to, and then I'm going to say, okay, it's time to retire.
Show note reuse. Awesome.
Yes, exactly. So there is a cast for skip level meetings, and skip level meetings are group meetings between you and several or more of your directs, depending upon the span of control in your organization. Now, if you have 5 layers in your organization, I'm not talking about a town hall where you bring everybody together. I'm talking about you meeting with your skips. And then your directs, who also have skips, would meet separately with their skips. And the purpose is to validate that things are getting through, to check to make sure that your message, the water, is being carried appropriately. And I will tell you, the first couple of skip level meetings you do following our guidance, and there's a cast for it, and it's very specific about what the agenda is and who comes. And by the way, your directs don't come, and how to brief everybody, and then how to expect questions, and hopefully over time, how to have more and more questions if you schedule them on a regular basis and don't jettison them at the first chance that you're at the first opportunity that your calendar is suddenly just too busy.
You said, I just want to make clear, because I think the context makes it clear. But okay. You said that skip level meetings were with several or more of your directs. You meant several or more of the skips, right?
Yes.
And,
yes,
and
yes,
as a matter of fact, directs are generally not invited to skip level meetings.
Definitely not invited. And we're not trying to catch them out at all. We're not trying to find fault with them. We're being respectful of the skips. All you have to do is a skip level meeting where your directs are sitting to one side, to see the moment you ask a question, every single one of your skips, their eyes turn toward their bosses, your directs.
Right. Looking for that subtle nod that I can talk.
Yeah, exactly. Or just plain old fear, which is a good sign, but you don't need a skip level meeting to validate that that's true. So it's a group meeting. I probably wouldn't have a skip level meeting with 3 of my directs. Let's say I had a total of 6 skips. I wouldn't say once a month, I'm going to meet with half of my skips. That would be weird. If you have 6 skips, you can do a skip level meeting probably once a quarter.
What do you think about skip level meetings? Now, I got to admit, before you even answer this, you can tell me I was wrong, but I used to, years ago, do skip levels with several levels down the organization.
Look. Okay. For those of you who don't know, Mike was a fairly senior guy at MCI. And there were, let's assume there's 5 layers beneath Mike. Okay. When I'm talking about a skip level, Mike, I'm talking about you and your skips. So Kathy Stultz used to report to you. So whoever reported directly to Kathy was in your skip level meeting.
Yeah.
If they were managers, and some of them were, their directs would not be there. In other words, your skips directs would not come. And here's why. Because Kathy should be doing skip level meetings with them. Okay. And all of this has been determined over the last 50 to 75 years in numerous iterations, managers talking to one another and discovering what the best practice is. What you're getting to is probably closer to a town hall where you've got your skips and their directs and their directs and their directs. And if that's the case, it's really silly at that point to leave your directs out, because when you start getting into town halls, there's going to be deliverables that come out of them, and you want your directs there because you shouldn't be in the business of writing down things that come up that you need to check. In fact, if you're doing a town hall, a couple of your directs are probably going to be writing down stuff that you're going to owe everybody in your organization in terms of future comms or answers coming out of the questions at the meeting.
Okay. One more thing I did wrong.
Darn it.
I know.
You're a high C, so therefore you think of perfection and wrongness. And the question is not wrong. I really think one of the single biggest impediments to management improvement is so many of us, I felt it for years, so many of us think what I'm doing is not right and somebody else knows what the right answer is. I don't even say that one-on-ones, which I would fall on my sword for as a professional recommendation, I don't even think one-on-ones are right and everything else is wrong. They're just more effective. Mm-hmm. I don't have any problem admitting that in 100 years, whoever our successors are running manager tools at that time, because our mission is every manager in the world effective, which might take longer than I could last. the problems will be different. They will. I mean, think about the differences in organizations today compared to 50 or 75 years ago. I mean, the diversity, the inclusion, the better pay structures, the greater flexibility. I hate to bring up working from home, but the technology that allows that to happen. I don't think we're not going to zap each other's thoughts to each other's brains, but the history of mankind is ever richer, ever taller, ever healthier, ever safer. And organizations are ever more efficient and ever more effective, assuming they're trying hard to get better all the time. So, no, you weren't wrong. You were doing your best to make sure your communication got through. And in a technical organization like yours, people are pretty focused on their tasks, and they tend to miss when communications come down that are about things that are coming up or about what your strategy is. They don't care about the strategy. If I'm a developer, I don't care about the strategy. I care about what piece of that strategy comes to me and when is it due. But for those 10, 15, 20, maybe even 50% in some organizations who need to feel connected, then you've got to do something to fight through the layers of your organization. So we also have guidance on town hall meetings as well, which are different.
Shocker, shocker.
Yeah.
So our next item is another way, right, which is of communicating with folks, which is maintain an open door policy, which we recommend as well.
Yeah, there is a cast for that too. It's just another way to address relationships with skips. But let's be clear about something. Skip level meetings and skip one-on-ones get smushed together in a way that confuses people. In the same way, open door policy is widely misunderstood. Most people think that an open door policy means my door is always open, but that's not what it means, guys. And again, there's a cast for this. You won't get very far anywhere with a closed door, but an open door policy is actually quite specific. It says that if one of your skips or even below them has a problem with their manager, they are not only authorized to seek relief from their skip level boss, you, but the organization indemnifies them, protects them. They can't, hypothetically, they shouldn't be, retribution shouldn't be brought to bear on them if they bring up an issue to their boss and their boss doesn't satisfy it and they want to go talk to their skip level boss. That's what an open door policy is. And in fact, it's an important legal thing that companies probably have documents supporting that. And you probably signed a form when you went to work, when you became a manager, that says, I believe in an open door policy. But nobody ever trained you on it unless you listen to our podcast on open door policies and know that it doesn't just mean your door has to be open. The way it works, and again, more detail in the cast, is somebody approaches their boss, and if they don't get satisfaction, they don't get their question answered, they have a concern, but they feel like their manager isn't on board or whatever, they inform their boss directly of their interest in taking advantage of their boss's boss, now you guys, take advantage of the open door policy. And if you or your firm have established that policy, and you don't need your firm to have established a policy, you can simply communicate it to people. And if you're going to do a skip level meeting, you could communicate it to them there if you haven't already done so. That means that your skips can approach you with their unresolved issue or concern or communication. The whole point of open door policies is their boss can't stop them from going further up the chain. Now, look, guys, when this does happen, and I'm not getting into a lot of the nuances here, but when this does happen, the direct and or their boss, who has been approached already, let you know that they want to take advantage of the open door policy and have a meeting with you. And usually your direct will come to you and let you know what the conversation was about. At the same time, they're not stopping your skip from coming to see you. When the skip comes to see you, you're obligated to ask them, if it's already not been made clear to you, have you spoken to your boss about this? Open door policies do not allow anyone to go seek out anyone at any time. There are cases where that is, usually in the cases of malfeasance or corruption on the place of their boss or abuse in some fashion. But generally, the assumption is they have to have let their boss know. This is not a free-for-all, okay? Usually it then also means that you hear them out on what their concern, issue, communication, whatever it is. And you're not required to decide that matter immediately. In fact, we have Morrison's Law of Management, which is you're not required to know all the answers. And you're certainly not, if you're not required to know all of them, you're certainly not required to know all of them right now. So we recommend you don't. You simply hear them out and say, hey, thanks for coming to me, and I'll get back to you. And once they're done, your first call is likely to their boss, the guy between you and them. Again, in the exception mentioned above, where we've got some malfeasance or abuse, you may not want to bring the boss in, but you're likely to call the boss and say, okay, what are you thinking about this? Don't miss it. There's some tension on the part of the person who's in the middle. Just again, use Horstman's middleman test. You'll realize, I don't know. I don't want my boss talking to me about something that one of my directs went to him with. Not that you don't trust your boss, not that you don't trust your directs, but there's a little extra tension factor there.
Yeah. And a lot of you listening right now probably have all sorts of questions about open door policy and the nuances therein. And like Mark said, you know, we have a lot of detailed guidance in the cast on open door policy. So go there and you'll get what you need.
You know, this is, in my mind, the way I wrote this cast was, okay, we're going to tell people not to do something, which is not something we do that often, but I wanted to create a conceptual framework around which skips and their bosses and their skip-level bosses interact, and all of these things relate to it. But again, we've already covered all those things, which is good. It'll save you some time. So let me summarize real quick. Guys, don't do skip level one-on-ones. It undermines your directs, who are obligated themselves, frankly, to create strong relationships with their own directs. And then your relationship with your direct and their relationship with their direct will create a strong secondhand relationship between you and your skips. Use skip level meetings. Use open door policy to round out that kind of suite of tools to help you have, again, a strong, but not necessarily a first-hand relationship with your skips. That's how you do it.
That's good, man. Direct, to the point.
Yeah.
And folks, you got hours of listening ahead of you if you so choose to do so. All right, my friend. I enjoyed that.
Thanks, partner.
We'll take care. Thanks, everyone. Have a great one. So long.